Welcome to the Cooldown Room with your host, Sky Upshaw, an F1 podcast where we talk all things formula. Welcome back, everybody. We've had a few little things happening this week within the news of Formula One, and it's time to go through it all and work out what's been going on and just, I think, share our thoughts. You know, talk to the room. Let's see how we're all feeling. We need to just let it all out, I think. For a lot of people, I think this week has been tough. Some big names have been thrown about, and I mean literally thrown about, you know? People have been thrown about. Yeah, we will get into that. But yeah, firstly, I hope you've all had a good week. We've gotten through 1 week with no Formula One, so we're almost there. We're almost back to, you know, full F1 mode, F1 weekend, but not quite yet. I'm here to help, you know, fill the gap while that's not going on. Anyway, today is such an autumnal day. October is tomorrow. I'm so excited. I just love September, October. They're my favourite months of the year. My favourite season is autumn. It's so cosy. It's so warm. Like, the weather is obviously pretty horrible, but that makes you so cosy, and like, you put like your cardigans on, as you can see. And you just wear like cozy clothes, and you just have cozy things going. Like, I just kind of love it. But then you can watch the F1 and they go to like hot, sunny places, and you can go, oh my gosh, kind of wish it was hot. So like, I kind of love it. You know what I'm saying? Also, lead up to Halloween. I don't really celebrate Halloween, but I love the whole vibe of it. The whole feeling of the period of time. Like, love that. And then also, obviously, Christmas. Obviously, I do celebrate Christmas and I love it. I have no words. I love Christmas so much. Yeah, this last week, I've had some really fun content go out. I've had some, you know, making content, actually, because I know I get a lot of comments from you guys talking about how to do what I do. How do I make money? How do I start? Like, just what is the basic on how to set yourself up? And I try to reply to most of you, but it's hard. I think actually my next podcast, as long as there's no major F1 news, I think I'm going to focus on how I am doing what I'm doing, and just to help you guys out and show you guys what it's been like and yeah, how I've got here. But just a like brief one, this past week, or more this past month, sometimes it's really hard to come up with content ideas, how to stay fresh and original and be your own, but also follow the right trends and keep consistent with doing the things that work, which is really hard, like being your own identity in person, but then also making sure you're not really like too far out, because otherwise you might not be seen. So that's a really, really difficult combination sometimes. But this past week, I've just had loads of different content ideas, which is so good, because some weeks I just have nothing. But it means that the content I've been making, I've just loved doing. And I've had the help of my mum this week, which has been so good, because I don't normally make content with her because we don't have the time to, but this week we've really done it. Like, having my mum do it is just the best thing, honestly. And she had a little cameo having her voice in the videos, which is so good. But anyway, I've just kind of loved doing it. And so I'm excited. The only problem is now I filmed all of my ideas. So I have one more video to release, and then I'm back to square one of having no ideas. So I need to like come up with some more. Unfortunately, it takes a lot of like scrolling. It takes a lot of like watching other people's content, looking at other people's videos, and just scrolling, like looking at like content. That's the problem. Like, I spend a lot of time doing research, just looking at content all day long, which is really bad, but like, it's good because of my work, but it feels really unproductive because you come away going, okay, well, this sounds trending and this person's got millions of views, but that doesn't really help me. So anyway, enough of that. Let's move on to the news. I will actually do a full podcast next week about, yeah, that in more detail if you really want it, because I think I'd like to make it. So I think it's time we talk about what's been going on in F1. So the big news, quite obviously, is the fact that Daniel Ricciardo has left Visa Cash App RB Red Bull team, Red Bull like sister team, Red Bull junior team, and you can call it whatever you want, the RB team. So his last race was Singapore. I guess we all kind of knew that. We knew it was going to happen. But my real thing now is like, what's next for him. That's what I want to talk about today. What is he going to go on to do? Because he's such a good personality. He has been a huge reason that the series Drive to Survive has done as well as it has, because Daniel has been such a face of that. I think one of the reasons that so many people like him, because I talk to a lot of people and I get a lot of mixed reviews about Daniel Ricciardo, and whether you like him or not, you have to definitely agree with the fact that he's kind of let us in to his emotional personality, his personal life. We've been allowed in to see what it's been like for him emotionally, physically, mentally, which we don't normally see with a lot of the drivers. We see a lot of like hard exterior, I want to be the best, I'm going to be the best, I'll fight until I'm the best kind of exterior. Whereas Daniel, we've really seen him come through and do a lot. Of course, the first Drive to Survive series started back in 2019. And if I just check my stats, yeah, he was with Renault at the time. He'd just come from Red Bull. So that was obviously a really interesting time to watch what he was up to and what he was doing there. And, oh no, actually, no, hang on, it came out in 2019. First series was in 2018. I was just thinking, hang on, we did see him in Red Bull. Yes, it was his last season in Red Bull, and we got to see that through Drive to Survive. So I think he's really been a huge personality within the F1 paddock. And I know that he hasn't had a very good, well, few years. He has not been good in that car. There has been far better. And a lot of people have definitely kind of shared their thoughts on that and views. And I have to agree. I think there are better to be in the seat. And I think it's kind of finally time that the Red Bull kind of family move on, because they really love Daniel. Okay, now hear me out for my next point. He needs to stay within the sport, surely, for a personality-based thing, because he's just amazing. He has had a great time in F1. He's had 8 wins, 3 pole positions, 17 fastest laps, and he's been on the podium 32 times. And he's been in the sport since 2011. So he's had plenty of years in the sport to know what's going on. He just, I don't know, if he wants to, I think he deserves to stay in some really cool way. You know, I think just from my own thing, I think he would be so good doing like journalism, presenting, all of that kind of side of things. He needs to be on screen. We need to be hearing his voice. I think he would be amazing at that, giving his thoughts and views. A little bit of a controversial moment, but a bit of a Nico Rosberg moment, because Nico obviously retired during his prime, which was a good idea, I think, and took a couple years off, and then he's back, been doing lots of presenting, and we've been seeing him on the screens, which has been kind of great, kind of fun to have him back. But Corinne Shandock is also, of course, a big personality within the presenting. We've got Damon Hill. We occasionally get David Coulthard, Jenson Button. Like, a lot of the drivers go on to do presenting because they end up being really good at it, because they really know what they're talking about, which is kind of great. But I guess, yeah, I guess initially Daniel would be great at that, but I guess it'd be quite demoralizing going from, you know, best sport in the world. I say best sport in the world, biased best sport in the world, most exciting, probably most exciting sport in the world, being a driver there, and arguably being one of the best during his prime, to then kind of being demoted and not doing very well and becoming a presenter. Like, that's not great, is it? Like, he needs to do something that he really deserves. So I've had a thought. I've been going through so many, like, what could he do? So he's 35 years old. He lives in a few places, really. America, Australia. He has like farm, lots of different, like, he generally travels a lot. Very summer man. He generally spends his whole year in F1 doing summer races and going to summer places. And then he'll go back to Australia and it'll be summer. So he like never sees the winter, it seems like. But his next option, I think, right now is to firstly take a year off. He needs to take 1 year off, 2025. Let's rethink this whole thing. Let's have a little namaste moment. Let's, you know, regain calm, take a year, because he deserves a year. He mentally deserves a year off, I think. And then 2026, I'm thinking full-time motorsport kind of driver in something like NASCAR, because He gives off such like American, in a really good way, like a really American kind of vibe. He loves like going to Austin. I'm actually really sad he's going to miss the Austin Grand Prix. Like, that is horrible. If I were in charge over there at VCARB, which, you know, I would definitely let him see out the Austin Grand Prix because he loves it there and they love him. And he gives so much to the, like, the people. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he gives so much, like, content, vibes, outfits. Like, he's just so cool in America. So, yeah, I think NASCAR, or the other option that's a bit more similar to F1, but IndyCar, it's obviously a great race, but it's, like, kind of nothing to do with F1, but it, like, is kind of similar. I'm not sure he should go to F1. So, what? I'm not sure he should. Whoa, I've just lost all my words. I'm sorry. Let me just rewind. I'm not sure he should go to IndyCar, but it's definitely an option for him. NASCAR, I think, is probably a really cool... I kind of would love to see him in Austin. But yeah, the other option would be endurance, like Le Mans 24-hour races, all that sort of thing. He could join a team there. He has got a lot of options. He is still an incredible driver. And so I just hope that he can see something that he would really enjoy and that he could really get into. I just think that for me, like for my personal view of him, I think something American. I think something with a big like status. That's what he needs to be doing. He needs to be doing something with a lot of vibes to it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he needs something with publicity, the crowds, which I think NASCAR kind of gives him. He should do at least one NASCAR race because I would so watch that. Like, come on, Daniel Ricciardo. The other option. Okay, there's so many options for him. But the other thought for him is to maybe move away from motorsport entirely for now, because he has almost 10 million followers on Instagram. Huge public figure. He's such a vibe. He's Australian. And I love how that was two things. He's a vibe and he's Australian. That, there we go. Like, that is why. No, but he's such a public figure that he could just move into something celebrity based, like literally anything. He could do some like, okay, like Top Gear vibe, not necessarily car related, but he could do something with his whole like persona. I don't even know how to describe it. He could just be a public figure, basically a worldwide kind of public figure. He kind of already is, but that's what he could continue doing within his career. I have written down that he could retire, like literally just like live his life doing nothing. He'd have the money to, but he's 35. Like, would you really want to? I know that's exactly what like Nico Rosberg did. And then he's like, nah, I want to be back. So that's why he's doing the presenting, because he's really good at it too. Like, controversial a little bit, but he is good at presenting and all that. So yeah, Daniel could do that. But he's 35, like he's young, he's got so many like years, like he's so young. But he's not young enough for F1. Yeah. Also, I did kind of only just find this out, which sounds ridiculous, but he owns his own clothing brand. So I knew about the clothing brand. Enchanté is what it's called. The clothes are amazing. But I actually, and I know that in my head, they'd worked with Daniel Ricciardo. No, it's his own brand. Like, that is his own that he's made and he designs, well, at least helps design. I mean, you don't know the details, but he basically designs clothes. I was like, that's awesome. He could move into that. See, I think when Lewis Hamilton does retire, he can just be such a public figure. He doesn't need to do anything in specific. He can just do whatever he wants. I think he should make music, have his own fashion line, be a proper, like, proper designer. I mean, like, high-level Louis Vuitton stuff, because that's exactly the kind of fashion he is. He is, like, runway, not really streetwear style, but, like, streetwear style. You know what I'm saying? Lewis has got it in the bag. He's going to retire fine. And Daniel is too. He just needs to make him, like, do something that makes him happy. He has got his girlfriend, who I'm hoping and believe they're still together. So, yeah. Anyway, that was a proper, like, rant about all of that. So I think it's time to move on to the other flip side of the story, which I've actually found a bit sad. Okay, so Liam Lawson is going to be coming into F1 for the rest of the year. ... We'll talk about next year a little bit later on. But he's joined the Visa Cash App RB team for until the end of the year, so the rest of the season. And we have six races left. No, we haven't. Yes, we have. Six races left. So I'm really excited to see him back. My dilemma, my problem here is the fact that obviously no, not many people are happy that Daniel Ricciardo has left F1. They're all going at Liam for like stealing his seat. I'm like, yo, this is not Liam's fault. Liam has now been given an opportunity to race in F1 again, because we saw him last year when Daniel broke his wrist in the Visa catch-up RB. So this has given Liam another opportunity to show his worth within F1 to then get a full year seat in the coming years. Again, we'll talk about that later. Everyone is proper going at him on social media. I have been going through like hundreds of comments feeling sorry for this man, because he, at the end of the day, is a great driver and he is just there to drive. But he deserves that. And so it was Red Bull's decision. Let's leave Liam out of this, okay? It was going to happen and anyone could have filled that seat, but it was Liam because he's going to be the best for that car. Or hopefully, we'll find out. So yeah, I'm excited to see him, Liam, back in the F1 seat, because I thought he was such a good driver. And actually, at the time when he was racing, genuinely one of my favourites. He was a great vibe. He kept it together. I thought he drove really, really well. And he was probably good for the sport because he was young, bringing a bit of New Zealand in there as well, because we've got obviously a couple Australian drivers this year. And then next year we have Jack Doohan as well. So yeah, a bit of New Zealand coming in. Yeah, we have, it's all going on, isn't it? Oceania and all that. They're all coming into the F1. Love it. So my next discussion that I want to talk about today is what is going to be happening in 2025. There are still a couple of seats available for next year. And we have a lot of driver changes next year. Next year. If you compare the seats that we had last year to this year, effectively nothing has changed from the last race of last year to the first race of this year. Nothing changed. All the seats were the same. If you look at the beginning of last year to the end of this year, we have a couple seat changes. Obviously, we had what we have now, Daniel Ricciardo. We had Logan Sargeant. We now have Franco Colapinto. There's a couple changes in there, but overall, yeah, it's been the same. Next year, very different. Well, you know this. We've got a lot of different drivers coming in. We have a few F2 drivers, few rookies coming in, which is super exciting. Again, makes the sport even more exciting. I'm really excited for next year. Some big driver swaps and changes, staying within F1, but moving seats. So I wanted to talk about who we've got left, because we have two seats available. So who's going to be filling them? And then maybe just a little look at what we think the teams are going to be like. Okay, so to run you through what is confirmed, because we have most of the teams confirmed. So starting with Red Bull, same driver lineup, Max and Sergio. Sergio, I was very convinced for probably the whole summer break that Sergio wasn't going to be staying within the Red Bull team, and frankly within F1. I genuinely thought that come the first race back from the summer break, Checo was going to be out, Daniel was going to be in the Red Bull, and Liam Lawson was going to be in the V-Carb. That was my kind of thought process. Still a possibility, but doesn't look likely. Then I heard that Sergio was going to have to stay until the Mexican Grand Prix, just because he's literally seen as like a god over there, apparently, which is kind of awesome, because, I mean, Checo is a vibe. Whether you like his driving or not, I kind of love him, to be honest. So yeah, let him see out the Mexican Grand Prix and then they were going to do it. But now I'm hearing that that's not happening. So maybe we are seeing him next year. Maybe we're not. I really don't know. But he has a contract until the end of 2026 and Max has a contract until the end of 2024. No, what am I on about? Until 2028, which is in 4 years, which is a long time. And there will be a clause within that contract that he will be able to leave early. We don't know how early that is. That could not be true, but it's most likely that there is that clause that he could leave early. Do I think Max is going to stay in Red Bull for 4 years? No, I don't. I think he's had a lot of problems, and I don't, particularly this year, I don't think he's happy with that car. And Max always wants the best. So, we could be seeing something go on over there in 26 or whatever. Moving on. Mercedes. So, George Russell, obviously, he's still in the seat. And then we have a little Kimi Antonelli coming in from Formula 2 to fill in Lewis's seat. That's very exciting. I'm looking forward to that team lineup. I don't know how they're going to get on. I think they've gotten on really well so far. Big height difference, if you've seen that. It's a bit of like a, I don't know, Yuki Tsunoda kind of moment going on. He's not obviously that short, but compared to George, big difference in height. But they've done a couple like promo videos together, like talking about next year, and they seem to be getting on really well. It's kind of giving like Big Brother vibes from George, which I think he kind of loves, to be honest. I think he quite likes being the like, I know they say they don't have number one drivers, but he kind of feels like he's had that authority. Whereas obviously for the time that he's been at Mercedes, Lewis has always had the authority, slightly higher up. He's been with the team longer. You know what I'm saying? Next up, McLaren, same driver lineup, Lando and Oscar. We don't know how long their contracts are for. Well, sorry, we don't know how long Lando's contract is for. We know it's beyond 2025, obviously. Oscar is until the end of 2026. So when the new car comes out, he will have a year at McLaren. And then who knows where he will go. Future world champion right there. Anyway, Aston Martin, same lineup, Fernando Lance. Ferrari, obviously a big one here. Charles Leclerc, obviously still there. And Lewis Hamilton, can't wait to see him in red. Very excited for that one. That is like, yeah, big moment. I have to say, again, coming off the line a little bit here, I grew up in a very Lewis Hamilton dominated fan household. Our household has generally been very Mercedes, very Lewis Hamilton. And then I started to get into it more. I'm very like spread across the board now. But I think in my heart, I would always have a little bit of that Lewis, like just because I literally grew up with, like, he is the number one, like we only love Lewis. My whole family still love Lewis, but they're very, again, a little bit more spread out. But there's something in me that will always, always just be a Lewis galley. Do you know what I'm saying? So him going to Ferrari is so, it was like a fever dream, because I remember watching when Sebastian Vettel was at Ferrari. And at the time when I was young, I was like, whoa, Sebastian, no, Lewis, yes. Because like we want Lewis to do well and Sebastian, like, no. So Ferrari was always a little bit of like a no. So now it's like the enemy has become the champion. I'm excited. I'm buzzing actually. Anyway, we'll get back onto what we're talking about. So Visa Cash App RB is the first one to have a question in one of their seats. So Yuki Tsunoda is confirmed until the end of next year. And then the second seat is unconfirmed. I personally think that Liam Lawson has the best chance of taking the seat, obviously, because he's in it for the rest of the season. But if he doesn't do very well, you don't know. Someone else could take it. We have the great Franco Colapinto up for grabs next year, which I'm really sad about. Like, he needs a seat. He just came into the sport too late this year, but I'm really hoping that he will be able to prove his worth over the rest of the races. And then hopefully in 2026, if not next year, and hopefully the year after, he will have a seat in a good team, probably Williams. But if Kimi doesn't do well in Mercedes, you never know. Alpine, Pierre Gasly, and second F2 rookie, Jack Doohan. Really excited to see Jack within F1. We haven't seen him officially race in any races, so really excited to see that happen. I met Jack, he was so nice. But yeah, Australian driver, so that's our second on the grid for next year, and I'm just really excited to see that. I think also Pierre and Jack, that's probably a good lineup. Yeah, Jack's got a contract until the end of next year. And then we have a big one again, Williams. So Alex Albon is confirmed, multi-year contract deal. Second seat, Carlos Sainz. So I know a lot of people think that that is not the best option for him. Obviously, it wasn't the best option for him. But wow, what a lineup. And also, the car has been doing kind of great. They've been within the points for the past few races. Franco and Alex have been doing really, really well. The car has had big improvements. So I'm hoping they can bring that on for next year and be within that top four, probably more so five teams, be in the top half of the teams, unlike the, you know, recent years we've had where they've been bottom two. So that's looking, I don't know, that's exciting. Carlos is so good, honestly. Yeah. Don't even get me started on Carlos. Okay, two teams to go. Firstly, Haas, two new drivers in that team, not new to the sport, but new to the team. Esteban Ocon, obviously not new to the sport, moving from Alpine to Haas. And then another very tall driver, Ollie Bearman, will be joining him. That's a very tall lineup. And Ollie obviously has only raced in F1 twice. He's had two races. So he had one in, hang on, let me do my Singapore, when Carlos Sainz had his appendicitis. And then Azerbaijan in replace of Kevin Magnussen for having the one race ban, obviously. So we already know what Ollie is like. He's great. I'm excited to see that. It's going to be good. Last one is Sauber, as in steak. Nico Hülkenberg will be in that team first, and then the second spot is open. So, of course, neither of the two drivers that we have currently are confirmed. That's Zhou Guanyu or Valtteri Bottas. They obviously still have the option to take one of those drivers, but my thought is that they won't do that and they'll go for someone new. Just because I think both drivers, although they're good drivers, I don't think they've been right for the team. And Valtteri is probably most likely to retire and have a great, like, he's going to have a great career after F1. I never want to see him leave because he's like, I love him. But I don't think he'll be staying. I could be wrong though. There's been a lot of talk about who's going where with that one. So that leaves us with about six drivers who have big question marks next to their name and no contract. So Kevin Magnussen, he's gone. He's disappeared at the moment. He's probably not going to be having a seat next year. Obviously, we just talked about Valtteri and Joe. And then Daniel, obviously not looking good for him. He's not having a seat. He's retiring from the sport, as far as we know. And then, of course, Liam Lawson and Franco Colapinto. Liam, I think, is going to go to the CARB. But Franco Colapinto, Sauber could take him. You never know. He'd be good in Audi, I think. So yeah, anyway, there we go. That's what I wanted to talk about with you all. And yeah, I think that's kind of it. I'm looking forward to the Austin Grand Prix in a couple of weeks. I'm looking forward to October because that is coming up very soon, tomorrow. And yeah, so there we go, everyone. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. You'll hear from me very soon. And yeah, enjoy the rest of your day, evening, morning, whatever you're doing. All right, bye.